So I don't know if you picked up the theme or not, but today is going to be hospitality. Hospitality, or a spirit or an orientation toward otherness. And if you haven't been following us, we are doing a series, and it's called Yes and Amen. All his blessings, all the blessings of the Lord are grounded in Jesus, right? And all we need to do is say yes and amen. We don't need to add a whole lot. We just say yes and amen, right? And so with that, the subtitle is The Blessing in Obedience. The Blessing in Obedience. So so we're going to tighten this a little bit. Can we do one more? We'll see. We'll see if this works or not. Because sometimes music stands are not your best pulpits, but we'll see how that goes. Thank you, Heather. And we'll see if my glass is shattered. So our title is Yes and Amen, and it's The Blessing in Obedience. And we're called in Scripture in so many different ways to be hospitable. It's a paramount thing. It's a thing that, you know, so there's a couple of different fun little things that happened recently. I'm going to start over here for just a second, but somebody had made a comment about they felt that I wasn't angry so much. I was interacting somehow, and I was dealing with something, and they said that, yeah, I don't sense that you're angry so much as you're hostile. And that got like, that was a weird little, like, angry, you know, I can own angry, but hostile, that's a weird kind of phrasing. So I was kind of working with that, and in discussing with another person, the thing that came up for them was the opposite of hostility is hospitality, right? And if you know Henry Nouwen, I had to go digging in my books, and I couldn't find the book that I was looking for, but he has this awesome book, and one of the chunks of it is From Hostility to Hospitality. And I thought, oh, how great is that? So I couldn't find find the piece, but I did find a little bit about from him. And he talks in terms of if you're full, if you're holding on to things, if you've got stuff that you need to make sure nobody gets a hold of, you're going to have a tendency to be more hostile. And it's harder for you to be free and hospitable. If I'm protecting my family, if I'm protecting my, you know, things, my, you know, all of these different kinds of things, I'm going to, there's a certain way about me that I'm going to hold things and I'm going to, you know, I suddenly can see you more as a threat than if I'm more open and more generous, right? And so if I just say all that I have is yours, Lord, I'm going to be a lot more open. You guys remember Corrie Ten Boom? She says, I hold the things of this world with a lighter grip so it doesn't hurt so much when God pries them out of my fingers, you know. And that's a, it's an orientation. It's something that, that we want to come to. And Nouwen will tell you that it's part of that is part of the journey of us coming home to ourselves. It's finding that no matter what, you are loved by the beloved God. If we are grounded in the one who not only created the universe, but resurrected from the dead and defeated death, all of a sudden, we're able to be a little bit more, you know, a little less aggro about the things of this world, a little less aggro about how my needs and my desires are being pulled up against. So, something happened yesterday. Kevin is here. Kevin has just been incredibly generous, especially these last couple days. And one of his generosities was he invited me to join him on the freeway while he was broke down on the 73 North. Did anybody hear any news about the 73 freeway at 4:30 yesterday? Yes. Can you tell us about what happened on the 73 freeway yesterday at about 4:30, 4:45? That's part of it. Go ahead, Wes.
A group of street racers took over the freeway and started doing donuts.
No.
73, and they were filming it, and they just kept going around and around and around and around with their cars.
What did you say? What was that? I still didn't hear it. Kev was in charge. Well, okay, so there is something. So hold on to that for just 1 second, but go ahead. So what? Yeah, you got cut off a little bit.
That was
it.
And then they moved on.
And then they moved on.
Yeah, it shut down the traffic.
Yes.
Nothing to do with Donuts for Church,
but so good how you tie this in, because if we're getting to the Donuts for Church, there's something funny about that. So anyway, so here's what happened. I'm kind of getting ready to kind of get prepare for the message yesterday. I'm going to give you my world perspective. Kevin's got his own version of this, so you can talk to him, and he can, well, maybe you can fill in as we go, as it's pertinent. But my point is, and I'm sitting there, and Allie's like, we need to go to the storage, because, you know, we're going to have church here, so the stuff we need for church is over at the storage. So we're like, I'm feeling tension. I got to get stuff together and organized and all this stuff. And she's like, that's okay, I'll go. So she takes off, and then I get a message shortly thereafter. Kevin is stranded on the 73 freeway. Do you want me to go cover it, or can you do it? I'm like, I'm not going to make my wife sit on the freeway. It makes no sense. So I went over there and came up, pulled up, and he's got a flat tire. And we're waiting for a tow truck. We have AAA, so we're called AAA, and AAA is going to come, and we're waiting. And, of course, AAA will be there in a half an hour, but half hour later they said there's nobody available. So, you know, that kind of a thing, right? So it kind of this sort of thing. And as we're sitting there, we're kind of hanging out. It was kind of a good time, actually. If it was anywhere else, it would have been a great moment. We could have had a cup of coffee or something else and, just like chewed the fat, right? But I'm like somewhat paranoid because I'm looking, and it's a part of the freeway where you just get on the freeway from Irvine and around, you can't see Irvine because there's a bend, right? So as you know, people get on the freeway, but they don't always look and things. And, you know, so I'm nervous that someone's not going to see us. And sure enough, I mean, there's several cars that are playing with that line, you know, that line that they paint out there. They hire these people to make sure that, you know, nobody really cares about. But in any case, so I'm sitting there, and I'm trying to figure out all these different ways to put the car. So I've got the car in neutral, the emergency brake on enough so it doesn't roll. But if we get hit, you know, it's not going to, you know, it's going to move, you know, and I move away from Kevin's car. Kevin's trying to figure out, like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm just trying to create some space. If we get rear-ended, I don't want to hit your car and, you know, like, let's, you know, all this kind of stuff. So we're all of this kind of strategy and stuff's going on. And we're sitting there, and then all of a sudden this weird car pulls up behind us. And it's like, it's nothing special. It's not a street racer or anything like that. We have no concept that it has any relationship to this thing at all. And I still don't know for sure if it does have any relationship, but he pulls up and there's two people. And all of a sudden, Kevin and I are going like, we're not all that comfortable. They pulled right up behind us. There wasn't any room. And then I noticed, because see, I'm watching in the mirror, like these cars coming. I noticed he came from like two or three lanes over to pull over. So that was all by itself. So I thought maybe something was wrong with him. And then he's sitting there, and they're not arguing, and we're just watching them, and we're kind of sort of half talking at this point, but we really got our eyes on them. And then I decide, because I had already moved back, I'm like, you know what? They don't have enough room to get out. If they're going to go, I'm going to make some room for them. So I move up, so they at least have some. Well, they didn't go very fast when they went out, and they went three lanes back into the middle of the road. Pretty sketchy, and nobody hit them, and they missed it, and they kind of life went on for a couple minutes. Well, then I moved my car back, and we're sitting there, and then all of a sudden we're just sort of half paying attention, half not, but the freeway start, like, you could see cars slowing down and stuff, and you think like, oh, maybe there's something in the road, or they're avoiding, and the freeway starts to become to a complete halt. And all of a sudden, there's all these cars lined up in front, and there's like these cars trying to get by, and they went vroom, and there's this thing, and like they took and they shut down the entire freeway. Aggressive takeover. It's called a freeway takeover. We learned that later when the CHP officer showed up to ask us some questions.
Do you guys think the video
helped,
right? It probably would have helped, but we weren't thinking that way because it was quite an awesome scene. We were really caught up in the moment. In fact, I was so caught up that I'm like, I can't see here. I climbed the side of the freeway so I could get a better view. And we're watching this thing. I didn't think of, well, I look, everybody else had one. I figured it's going to be on social media eventually. So, like, I mean, what am I going to do with the video? I don't know what, I'm not really, I am kind of thinking, like, how is anybody going to get caught? You know, is the police going to get here? all this stuff. Well, it's right at the thing, so they can go north on the 73, they can go north on the 55, there's an exit at Bear, there's an exit, you know, they think this thing out, right? This is a coordinated effort. And they locked down this freeway, and I swear, it felt like 5 minutes. It probably wasn't that long, but it felt like a long time. And if you go north, get on Irvine and go north, you'll see a bunch of donut marks in the middle of the freeway right there. It's just trippy.
We saw that when we were going to the beach.
You saw it already? On MacArthur Road? Interesting. So, yeah, I wonder if they turned around there. Or I don't know what all the deal is. None of that is, I mean, it's an exciting story to tell, and it's really interesting, and it's fantastic. But where it fits with today is this idea of this, I mean, this brazen, brash thing. And you know, when they took off, one car got broke down. It was kind of interesting. So they're pushing this car over on the side. Like, he's caught for sure. But no, sure enough, a truck pulls up along the side. They take some pieces off the car, throw it in the truck, hook it up to the truck, and they take it out. You know, they pulled it out of there. You know? Yeah. This thing. They had some. Now, here's what we're trying to figure out, was this friend or foe? Was this some guy that just showed up with this big old monster truck and just, like, stole their car or what? Because we're not sure if there was a fight. There might have been a little fight going on there. You know, it was just chaos. You're trying to put all these pieces together. It was just your reaction is perfect because we're like, you know.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah. And then he's like, hey, I think there's a fight. And I'm like, maybe we can get closer. He's like, I don't think that's a good idea. And then I think, oh, yeah, they may have weapons. let's stay back over here so we can, you know. But, you know, me, somebody's shooting a gun. Let's go see. that's, yeah. Anyway, so sorry, Kenny. He's like cringing, right? So anyhow, here's my thing is I just thought, now, the freeway is shut down for this 2-3-5-minute period, but it took a good 15 minutes for that freeway to start flowing again. And it was just like, what a deal. A concerted, coordinated effort, and I'm going to call it of hostility, to come in there and take over this thing. And people, who knows where they had to be. You know, you know how it is when you're stuck in traffic and you're like, gosh, I just needed a clean sail through this thing. Right? And these guys are just, and they are aggressive, and they are, you know, like, you know, because again, I'm thinking, like, if I'm up front, I would have just, but like, who knows? You know, like, I don't know if they have weapons. I don't know how all this works. Later, the CHP did pull up. First question, is this, you got, you know, this thing, are you guys a part of this thing? And Kevin's like, why would we answer yes if we were? And then I had another moment of hostility. Yeah. But I was with you, so I might have. Yeah, that was us. We did that. So I know, like, you're supposed to keep your hands so they can see you and all this stuff. I train this driver's ed all the time. I know you're supposed to keep your hands and everything. But what didn't occur to me, like, I'm in a spot because I'm protecting his car. At some point, the tow truck had come, and we're trying to figure out how to change the tire. And it's just a sketchy place, and the tow truck couldn't tow it and all this stuff. So I had moved my car over so at least if they would hit me and not hit them directly, right? So I had kind of moved back over a little bit, but not that much. But then the CHP comes up behind me, and I want to get out and tell the guy the story. But I can't get out there because I'm going to get killed. So I move my car forward, and he starts yelling, stop the car! And Kevin's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm going to talk to the guy. I got to get over the thing and the deal. So I put it back in. My hands are up here. My eyes are covered. So I cover it, you know, deal. And I start, did I scare you again? Oh, yeah. That's something you're going to have to work out with Bradley. I'm thinking that's not a good idea. So anyway, all of this is going on. And he asked us some questions or whatever. And again, neither of us put together about this one car that pulled over. But I'm driving back from church last night. We went to Mariners last night and with the Pelios and saw like a little concert and stuff. It was kind of cool. And I'm driving back and I'm thinking it through. And I'm like, I bet that guy was a spotter. Because of where he located, that's where they all slowed down. That was exactly where they triggered it. So I bet he marked their location and sends it out on their, you know, group text or whatever. And I don't know anyway. But a lot of this is speculation because I really don't know what's going on. But what I did anchor into, aside from it being the most exciting thing that happened to me in probably a few weeks, if not a few months, is this just coordinated group effort of hostility. And with today's sermon, we are looking at this perspective of if hostility can be that organized, why can't hospitality also be that organized? And I've got news for you. Because we're the church, it is. It's an orientation. It's a spiritual thing that can happen. It's a place where we go, going back to what I was talking about with Henry now, and it's an emptying of ourselves. It's saying, I'm going to show up here not for what I can get, but for what I can give. And I'm going to trust that there will be something that gets transpired throughout the community that's going to grow us. Now, I may go out less than what I come in with, right? If I bring, you know, use the old potluck analogy. If I come in with a plate full of potatoes, I may walk away with an empty plate. But there's another thing that happens in that, and there's a purpose thing. I have been used to serve and help and to contribute to something, you know, greater. And when we gather, of course, what's the point? We're gathering to honor and serve the Lord. And that has something even more so. We are creating, guess what, guys? Now I'm accessing my inner Tara. Guess what, guys? Isn't this great? But we're accessing our inner hospitality. We're accessing hospitality to invite and bring in the Lord and allow him to feel at home and welcome in his house. Isn't that crazy? He puts that trust and calls us into that. It's like the little kid. How many of you guys have had little kids cook you a meal? Yeah? How many of you guys have been blessed by Hero's Baking? Right? Now, maybe the first time she ever baked, that was an act of hospitality toward her by eating it. But by training and allowing and going again and again, now I promise you, if you ever get something from Hero, you are going to be the one that's blessed. You may bless her by eating it, thinking, oh, I'm doing a good deed, but you're going to walk away going like, nah, 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 nah. I did nothing here. Right? Like it just joy, pure joy. And I think that's what the Lord does for us. He allows us this opportunity to come, hey, just tell me what's going on in your life. Bring what you have. You're a mess. You've got these weird worries. How many of you guys feel like your worries are trite? Right? But he says, bring them. Bring them along. Share them. Pray them out. Let me just have them. Let me see. At least be honest with me in those things. And we'll see where it goes. So there's this funny little thing. We're talking about this coordinated effort, right? And a lot of times when stuff goes wrong, and churches apparently really get this, but let me back up a little bit. How many of you guys know very often when a stop sign is put in a place that there wasn't normally a stop sign, that something probably bad happened there? Yes. Right? There's usually like something. So the reaction is what? Public policy. We're going to fix it. We're going to make it better. You know, they come in and they fix things. And there's like a lot of strange things can be explained by something. Oh, yeah, something bad happened there. And so now we're going to fix it. And we're going to create a policy. Or we're going to make another stop sign. And we're going to do this thing. That doesn't mean the policy is bad. It might mean something happened and, you know, it drew attention. Unfortunately, on the flip side of that, most of the time, people know something is wrong or bad, and they wait for the tragedy before they can get the strength to change something. You get what I'm tracking with me on that? For us, I want to be clear here. It's not that I'm saying that policies are bad, okay? I just think that what I'm after is something deeper. Because we could put policies in place, and that would be great, but then that has a constraint to it. And then we're angry because I'm not going to do it because you told me to do it. Right? How many of you guys get that? I was fine. Ian pulls this thing up on his Instagram feed, and it says, how come that I get up and I'm you know, my parents, and I want to help them out today. And I think maybe I'm going to do the dishes. And I get in the kitchen, and my mom tells me to do the dishes. Why is it that I no longer want to do the dishes? You know, right? There is something about us that hates that sort of external constraint. And I really believe that's what the Lord is one of the aspects, or at least an analogy of how the Lord works in us. He puts the Spirit in us, and I want us to have a spirit of hospitality. Because what I think happens is we get put upon, right? And then we do it begrudging, and we get all and bitter. And I believe that's what leads to burnout. So we can make policies, but what I'm after is, if you're going to fulfill the policy, or if you're going to fulfill the law, if you will, it's a heart thing. It's something that comes from within. And I think that offsets that feeling of burnout, that offsets that feeling of being bitter. So we had a situation, and we were kind of trying to figure out, how do we work out? How many of you guys know that we have been bringing donuts to church on a regular basis, right? So donuts would show up, donuts would disappear, right? And it's like, where did the donuts go? So we're trying to figure out how to deal with the donuts. And so there's conversation to be like, how do we figure this out together? And it's messy. Why is it messy?
People are involved.
There's relationship, and there's people trying to do things, and people stepping in to lead, and other people not liking how they're being led, and there's all of these different variants that invalid and stuff going on. Well, I was really encouraged when we were joking with somebody about, like, and the joke kind of was this, and it might not have been a very, you know, like, I apologize for the crassness. I've already kind of worked this out with one aspect of it, but there was an element of it in my mind that's like, we go through COVID. We go through church splits, we go through this, but it's the donuts that are going to take us down, right? It's the donuts. And I don't know how the conversation came up. I wasn't in the primary conversation, but this one person was talking about, the donut table. They go to a different church. They started bringing donuts to church, and they were doing this thing, and the donuts, and they didn't like, you know, a lot of people didn't like the donuts, but the person did a contract for a year to bring these donuts, and the thing, and the deal. And it just turns out that, like, all of a sudden, donuts seem to be a place where there's a lot of issues in churches. It's not just us. And that made me feel better. Like, this is just one of those things. And I was reminded, and you guys remember, Adam has talked about this before, but when two people get married, what happens, right? You've got all of these things you've got to prepare for to get married. At the very beginning, you try and figure out what? What are probably the two biggest things you got to figure out? Venue and what? Date and venue and what? We have a sample. Well, then there's the wedding dress, what you're gonna wear. You're like the flowers, the song, right? All of these things. Well, one of the things that's cool to know, at least a place to put in your heart, is if you have a pastor. Some place to get married, right? And you're wearing something. Guess what? You're married. There's a good chance. And, you know, if you're looking in the Bible, you might think that wearing nothing helps because of the way they define marriage. But here's my point, is the big things are up front, and you get those taken care of. And as you get closer to the event, the things that need to be cared for are much smaller. And then all of a sudden you have these major catastrophic fights over what color the bubble bottle is going to be on the table. Right? All the energy's up here, and there's some place to do something with it. Right? But then you get down here, you still have all of this energy. In fact, the energy's going what? Higher, because it's getting closer to this amazing date that's going to happen. So all of the energy is getting amped up, but there's less and less place to distribute it. And so it gets put into these little tiny issues. And I thought about this donut thing, and I thought, that's kind of what happens, doesn't it? We get uptight over things that are really minor with us, and then the hostility, we get frustrated and angry and mad, and it becomes a place where, like, all of a sudden, what is it that shatters the church, you know? And what we're really after is that kind of spurred the idea, like, what's a good spot for this sermon for all of us here today? We're going to have a barbecue. and we're going to serve one another, and we're going to be hospitable to one another, and we're going to say, you know what? I'm going to figure out how to make your needs more important than my needs. If you have a Bible and you want to flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, in the old days, we know that when you came to church, there was a meal involved. It was always a meal. And then part of the meal was always what? The Lord's Supper. So it was all kind of this one thing, church, eating, and communion. All kind of was together, right? And so that's what Paul's addressing here. There's a lot of issues with Corinthians that he's dealing with. And the Corinthians, everybody says how much of a mess they were. You might just say that they're goofy. They're just human. That's another way of just saying they're just normal. They're us in so many ways. And so he says, starting in verse 17 of chapter 11, "Now in the following instructions, I do not commend you." So we're about ready to get a scolding. Ready? "For to begin with, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. To some extent, I believe it." He's already dealt with a lot of these divisions earlier. "I'm for Paul. I'm for Apollos." Ugh. Right? We're here to gather for Jesus. He says, "To some extent, I believe it. Indeed, there has to be some factions among you, for only it will become clear who among you is genuine." Now it's like, wait a minute. If I'm fighting, am I genuinely loving Jesus? "When you come together, is it not really to eat the Lord's Supper? For when it comes time to eat, each of you goes ahead with his own supper, and one goes hungry and another becomes drunk." I don't know what we have in those coolers, but I haven't gotten the right cooler when I was looking for something to drink. But he says, "Some of you guys become drunk. What? Do you not have homes to eat in and drink in? Or do you show contempt for the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What should I say to you? Should I commend you? In this matter, I do not commend you." And then he goes on and he talks about what they're even gathering for. And that the Lord took that day and he broke the bread and he gave it and distributed. And he contrasts from this selfishness to this incredible generosity that Jesus... He's standing. Can you imagine Jesus at the Last Supper breaking bread and then, you know, this fight go on? I know they're two separate events, right? Like this is Corinthians later after Jesus' death. But there's what a paradox that Jesus does for us. He breaks his bread and he says, "This is my body to give to you." And then the church is sitting there fighting that they don't get enough bread. Or, "Here's my blood poured out for you. And I didn't get enough to drink." What a contrast. What a humility. What a generosity that Jesus gives to us. I think of hospitality and generosity in very similar camps. Amen? Like, we are incredibly selfish. Just, that's our base note. That's just, we think we've got all of this to lose. And Jesus stands up in there and says, I'll give more. I'll give more than you could ever imagine. If you want to turn over to Philippians chapter 2, I think we just read this recently. You know, it's interesting. I was looking this up and I came across this quote. It's actually from the book I was talking about with Henry Nouwen. He's quoting a guy by the name John of the Ladder. He says, "If some are still dominated by their former bad habits, and yet they're able to teach by mere words, let them teach. For perhaps being put to shame by their own words, they will eventually begin to practice what they teach." I don't know if that fits somebody better than me. Like, again, I start off with this sense, I have this hostility in me that is not something I'm proud of. But I know that, like, for whatever reason, I wake up and the Lord meets me. The Lord meets me in worship this morning. How many of you guys felt just like his presence here today? I love this place. This building just gives us a shift all by itself. But there's just something about coming together and just going. And again, I've been kind of reading this stuff and just kind of going over. But like being grounded in the fact that God poured his life out for you so that you don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to fret. There's things that we got to take care of just because we're human and figuring out life and stuff. But there's a base peace that does what? Surpasses our understanding. And I'm just reminded of that as we gather. I'm reminded that there's this element that we can come together in his presence and be broken and selfish and wanting and knowing that we're frail in that sense. Knowing that I cannot declare anything to him that's going to last. And yet he still accepts me. He still invites me. He still invites you. There's no going. It's just amazing how that all works. Everybody knows this, but I'm going to read it again. It's such a good verse. If there be any encouragement in Christ, any consolation of love and any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. This is Paul speaking. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish conceit. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interest of others. Let the same mind be in you as it was in Christ Jesus, who is he in the form of God. He did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but he emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave, being born in human likeness and being found in human form. He humbled himself and he became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the same name that is above every name, so at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the Father and to the glory of God the Father. Jesus can hold things of this earth. It wasn't like he didn't get tempted. Of course, in the desert, we know that he went out there and he was tempted by Satan. And it was hard. It wasn't like he didn't have to deal with some of these. But his discipline was to hold these things loosely. But part of it is he knew where he came from. He knows where his place is. He knows that he doesn't have to guard his life. Like the biggest tension I feel with Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, because that's the one place where it seems like that was the one thing that was hard for him to let go of. Right? I'm not saying it wasn't hard along the way, but that was certainly the hardest place to give up his life. To go, will my life really be resurrected? I think our theology, I wonder how much we think, oh yeah, well, Jesus knew he was going to raise from the dead. Did he? Did he really know that? Did he maybe have some concept? Yes, sure. But there's something else about up here and actually doing it. There's something, there's a different thing to say, will this hold? You sit in a chair, will this hold me? Right? We don't think about it that much. Until you've sat in a chair and you've fallen. The next chair you sit in, what do? Okay, I'm going to check it out, right? Like, it's a little more like that. But in this with Jesus, it's the opposite. I mean, he's going to test this death thing. And he steps into it. And, of course, Jesus does get raised from the dead. For us, one of the things, I had a conversation with somebody who ended up leaving, and it was a hard conversation. It's a, you know, like I was thinking about this hostile takeover from the freeway and just how your brain kind of catches up to things. You know, whether this car was a spotter car, I don't know, but my mind is putting things together after the fact. And there's just so many conversations that you miss on the front end. You know, different things someone says or what they did, and maybe my disposition was off on that day. Most likely it was. I want to say that as a joke, but it's actually true. But the point I'm trying to make is this one particular conversation came up and is kind of rolling around this week as going through this, is just that their experience of us is we're not very hospitable, right? Like where we were meeting and where things were at and stuff. They have this sense of they didn't use the word hostile, okay? So I'm not saying they were suggesting we were hostile, but that was kind of the conversation. And I got to thinking about it, and again, I don't want to, I would like to ask more questions. I would like to invite that conversation to come forward and hear a little bit more if I was in the right sort of space to do that. Where I'm going with this is I was listening to Allie today. She has a routine every Sunday, most Sundays, and she has her friend. How many of you guys know she listens to this guy named Freitag from Elevation Church? Does anybody know his name? Stephen what? Furtek, right? And I haven't listened to him but in pieces, right? So, and I like a lot of what he says, and there's some things, but he's also really funny for me. He does this thing. He starts going off, right? He gets going, and the speech goes going, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and then the guy in the organ in the background starts going, and it's like they've got music and stuff. So that may be what we could do is we could have you guys with the guitars and start, as I get going. But anyway, he's really funny, but he's got a lot of good things to say in it. There's a sobriety to it. Where my point is one of the things that I just thought about with Allie, and again, I'm putting her up, and I don't want to necessarily say that she's better than, she's better than me in so many ways, but there is this element of what she does is she comes to church already fed. She comes to church already nourished. She's already listening to the Lord. She's already praying. She's already spending time getting a sense of, so she's not coming here to take per se, right? Now, that's not 100% true. She does have her days. She's human just like everybody. I promise you. But it got me thinking about how we approach. How many of you guys ever go to like a really important dinner hungry, right? Have you ever done that? And then you're like really like starving, and then you sort of make a fool of yourself trying to like eat like 50 hors d'oeuvres, and you're like this, and you're just not able to be super present. But if you kind of like taper your hunger a little bit ahead of time and you come in, again, I'm not saying wreck your dinner. I'm just saying sort of like to where you can come in there with the blood sugar levels about right, a little more. Yeah, you laugh. You know what I mean? There's just something to that. And as we gather together, what I want to invite you guys to do is be hospitable to the Lord ahead of time. Be hospitable to him before you get here. Prepare for worship. Come in a little bit nourished. And then as you gather and we all share together, we get days like today that's just amazing. Like it just feels like warm and a fresh cup of water for people. And that also gives us eyes to see people that maybe aren't able to be a participant of it. And maybe we can extend a little bit. We have a little bit extra to give. If we live in the margins all the time, then we're not able to give much, right? Like one little thing goes wrong. Kevin breaks down on the freeway and all of a sudden, oh my gosh, I've already burned up all of my time and I'm racing through my heart what to do with that. And I get there and lo and behold, God gives me a freeway takeover for a sermon. But you know what else he gave me? He gave me the generosity of Kevin. Kevin was there and we were hanging out and we got to connect in a way that we haven't connected maybe since we've been roommates, but certainly in a while. And there's just something about just letting the Lord, you go into something, maybe a little bit pouty or begrudging, but if you can just let the door kind of crack open and sometimes the generosity of the other person. If I go in there aggro and he's aggro, because of all people to be aggro, he could be aggro, right? He's on the side of a freeway with a flat tire. Anybody get aggro over that? Right? But he had some space. He had some space to give. And all of a sudden, I'm like this. And I'm thinking, man, I don't know. It was really cool. The other thing I wanted to do with this little hostile takeover thing is that coordinated effort. Can you just imagine if that was just a giant worship service in the middle of the freeway? Right? I'm not suggesting those guys were Christians and doing it as unto the Lord. I'm not pretending for a second, right? But there is something to that. I got to experience this, I'm going to call it a gritty thing. I mean, it was very brazen and this. And then I got to go to church right after over at Mariners and a bunch of people. And there was a substance to worship last night that I got to experience just coming off of this kind of thing. And I thought, man, what if we How many of you guys have seen those, like, flash mobs? You know, the one I liked really when they, at Christmas time, if you ever look up the Christmas one, where they took over the mall at the Christmas time, just taking over the thing and saying, no, we are going to bring the presence of Christ here, and we're going to honor him, you know. And they're wasting their tires and all that kind of stuff, but that's what we're doing, right? We're wasting our lives by being here. We might as well do it as unto the Lord, right? Be brazen. I don't know if brazen works in that sentence, but but be intentional, but have grit to it. Hospitality is not just being nice, right? It's got substance. It's got grit. Jesus was hospitable at that table, but there was a granular substance to that that went far beyond, oh, nice, right? Last passage, very familiar to you. Sorry, I didn't write down the verse. You might know the verse. Jesus says in Revelation, I think it's 3, right? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. What is it?
3:20,
thank you. Listen, I am standing at the door knocking, and if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you, and you with me. Last night at Mariners, they call it Believe Sunday, something like that. I forget exactly how they phrase it. But it's just a big, giant altar call. You know, it's just like, hey, if you don't know Jesus, today's a good day to say yes. And for us, we say yes and amen. That's our theme. And I just want to encourage you that Jesus knocks at the door all the time. All the time. And I want to invite you. If you're not hospitable to me, if you're not hospitable to each other, I think you should be, and I think that'll be helpful, but be hospitable to him. That could change things. So with that, let's pray. God, we crowd you out so many different ways. We may not be as intentional as this freeway thing, but so many times we block traffic just because of our unattentiveness to you. And we cause problems and we cause disruption and we don't care for one another. We don't see each other as human, as people in need, as people that want to know you. We don't create that space for hospitality, that generosity. God, we say, first of all, forgive us for that, of course, please. And in that, we want to go again and we want to just invite you to be here for the rest of the day. Thank you for the joy that you've given us today. Thank you for this, just this spirit of worship that we got to participate in. You didn't have to do that. It could be dry and bland, and it would still be valuable to do it, but you give us this experience sometimes when we gather with the right heart. So we just thank you for that. We thank you for the experience we've had this morning. Bless our food. I don't know if we have any food yet, but bless our food as it's coming. And just bless the rest of our time together. In Jesus' name.